Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're going to be tackling a pretty big topic,
Oh, yeah.
the concept of salvation in Christianity, and more specifically, the role of Jesus and all that.
Right.
You've shared with me a really interesting mix of sources here.
Yeah.
Verses from the Bible, some devotional writings, and even a bit of theological commentary from different thinkers throughout history.
It's a fascinating mix.
So let's dive right in and see what we can uncover.
Yeah, I think what makes this topic so interesting is that it's not just some abstract theological idea.
Right.
It really gets to the heart of how people have understood their relationship with God for literally centuries.
Okay, so to kick things off, you included John 3:16-17.
Okay.
One of the most well-known verses out there.
Yeah.
For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life.
Right.
For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. I mean, talk about starting big.
Right out of the gate, you've got this massive statement about God's love.
Yeah.
And not just love for a select few, but for the entire world.
Yeah.
This is a radical concept that really sets the stage for everything else we're going to unpack.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
And it makes me think about the next verse you shared.
Okay.
Ephesians 2:8-9.
Okay.
For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. So it's like, God's love leads to this incredible gift.
Exactly. This idea of grace was revolutionary.
Oh, wow.
Before Christianity, many religions emphasized earning your way to the divine.
Right.
But here it's clear,
yeah,
salvation isn't a reward you earn.
Right.
It's a gift you receive.
Wow.
And that completely changes the dynamic between humanity and God.
So already we're seeing this theme of Jesus being the key to it all, which takes us to John 14:6. Where Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life.
Okay.
No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, this is one that always sparks a lot of discussion, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's a statement of exclusivity that has been debated by theologians for centuries.
Right.
Thinkers like Karl Barth argued that this verse points to the uniqueness and the irreplaceability of Jesus Christ. While others, like inclusivists, suggest that God's love and salvation might be accessible through different paths.
It's almost like trying to grasp something infinitely big, isn't it?
Yeah.
And just when you think you've got a handle on it, there's another layer.
Right.
Like you also included Acts 4:1-12. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Which seems even more specific.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And it underscores this core Christian belief that Jesus isn't just one way among many,
right?
But the way to salvation.
Yeah.
It's deeply rooted in their understanding of Jesus's identity as the Son of God and what his life, death, and resurrection accomplished.
Okay, so if we accept that, at least within the framework of Christianity, Jesus is the way.
Right.
What's the next step? How do we actually receive this gift of salvation?
Right.
You included Romans 10:9-10, which seems to lay it out pretty clearly.
Let's hear it.
It says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved.
Okay.
For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. I find it interesting that there's an action component here, you know?
Yes. It's not just about passively waiting for something to happen.
Right.
There's a conscious choice involved, a declaration of faith, and a belief in the resurrection.
Yeah.
In some Christian circles, this is often referred to as being born again, a moment of spiritual awakening and transformation.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
There's a lot to unpack there.
Yeah.
But what about the Holy Spirit?
Okay.
You included Titus 3:5 as well, which mentions it.
Ah, yes.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
This is where the concept of the Trinity comes in. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
Three distinct but inseparable parts of one God.
Yeah.
A concept that has been a cornerstone of Christian theology for centuries.
Okay, I have to admit, the Trinity always makes my head spin a little.
I know, it's a lot.
But what does Titus 3:5 say specifically about the Holy Spirit's role in all of this?
It says, he saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy.
Okay.
He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit.
So it's not just about saying the right words or even intellectually believing.
Exactly.
There's something deeper happening.
Exactly. The Holy Spirit is often seen as the active presence of God in the world.
Okay.
The one who guides us,
mm-hmm.
empowers us,
yeah.
and transforms us from the inside out.
Okay.
It's not just a mental ascent. It's a spiritual rebirth.
Yeah.
Welcome back to our deep dive into salvation in Christianity.
Oh, yeah.
We've covered a lot of ground in the first part.
Yeah, we have.
But I have a feeling things are about to get even more intriguing.
I know, right?
Yeah.
We've gone from this all-encompassing love of God to the revolutionary idea of grace.
Right.
The unique role of Jesus.
Yeah.
And even touched upon the mystery of the Holy Spirit.
And that's just the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah.
But before we move on,
okay.
there's a question I keep coming back to.
Okay.
We've talked about how Jesus is the way to salvation.
Right.
But what does that actually mean in practical terms?
Right.
What did he do to make this whole thing possible?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
And I think the next set of sources you shared might hold some clues.
Okay.
Let's start with the idea of Jesus' death on the cross.
Okay.
Christians believe that this event was a sacrifice, right?
Yes. Exactly.
Yeah.
Christians believe that Jesus, as the Son of God,
mm-hmm.
willingly chose to die on the cross to atone for the sins of humanity.
Okay.
This concept of atonement is central to understanding salvation in Christianity.
Okay. So in simple terms, yeah. it's like he took the punishment for our mistakes,
yes.
even though he was innocent.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
It's a complex theological concept.
Right.
But essentially, it's about restoring that broken relationship between humanity and God.
Okay.
Think of it like this.
Okay.
Imagine a king who loves his people, but they've rebelled against him.
Right.
Justice demands punishment,
mm-hmm.
but the king also desires reconciliation.
Okay.
So he sends his son, who is innocent of any wrongdoing,
right,
to take the punishment in their place.
Wow. That analogy really brings it to life.
Yeah.
It really highlights the magnitude of what Jesus did.
It does.
But then there's the resurrection.
Right.
He didn't just die. He came back to life 3 days later.
Yeah.
How does that fit into this idea of salvation?
The resurrection is absolutely crucial to the Christian understanding of salvation.
Mm.
It signifies that Jesus' sacrifice was accepted by God
mm-hmm.
and that the power of death and sin had been broken.
Okay.
It's like the ultimate victory.
So his resurrection is like the proof that his sacrifice worked.
Exactly.
That this path to salvation is actually open to us.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's the foundation for Christian hope
wow.
and the promise of eternal life.
Yeah. Okay.
Without the resurrection,
right.
the entire Christian message falls apart.
Right.
It becomes just another story of a wise teacher who died.
You know what's fascinating to me is that this event over 2,000 years ago,
yeah.
still has such a profound impact on people's lives today.
It really does.
It shapes their understanding of themselves, their purpose, their yeah. relationship with God.
It's remarkable, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that brings us back to this idea of obedience that we touched upon earlier.
Yeah, okay.
If Jesus' death and resurrection paved the way for salvation, what's our part in all of this?
Right.
Do we just sit back and wait for it to happen?
Good point. I mean, there's that whole concept of discipleship, right?
Right.
It's not just about believing in Jesus. It's
yeah.
about following.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Following Jesus isn't just about accepting him as Savior.
Right.
It's also about living a life that reflects his teachings
mm-hmm.
and example.
Mm-hmm.
It's about walking the walk, not just talking the talk.
So it's about embodying the values of love, compassion, forgiveness, and justice that Jesus demonstrated throughout his life.
Yeah.
That's a pretty tall order.
It is. But remember,
okay.
it's not about achieving some kind of impossible perfection.
Right.
It's about a commitment to growth and transformation.
Hold on. How can we be expected to follow his example when he was perfect and we aren't?
That's the tension between grace and works, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Christians are called to live a life of obedience.
Right.
But they also recognize that they will inevitably fall short.
So how do we reconcile that? How can we be expected to obey
right.
knowing we're going to mess up?
That's where forgiveness comes.
Okay.
Christians believe that God's grace extends not only to our initial salvation,
mm-hmm.
but also to our daily struggles and failures.
Right.
Through confession and repentance, we can receive forgiveness
okay.
and continue on that path of discipleship.
So it's not about never making a mistake.
Right.
But about recognizing our imperfections
yeah.
and continually striving to align our lives with God's will.
Precisely.
Okay.
And it's a lifelong process of growth and transformation fueled by God's grace.
Mm-hmm.
We're not doing it alone.
Mm.
You also included some sources that touch on the role of the church in all of this, right?
You're right. That's an aspect we haven't explored yet.
Okay.
And it's an important one because Christianity isn't just about an individual's relationship with God.
Right.
It's also about community.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The church plays a vital role in supporting and nurturing believers on their faith journey.
Okay.
It's a place where people can learn, grow, and serve together, sharing their joys and struggles along the way.
So it's not just me and Jesus.
Right.
It's about being part of a larger body of believers who are all striving to follow him together.
Exactly.
Okay.
It's like having a team of people
mm-hmm.
who are all on the same journey, cheering each other on and helping each other up when they stumble.
That makes a lot of sense. It provides that support system, that sense of belonging, that encouragement to keep going, even when things get tough.
Exactly.
This is starting to paint a more complete picture of what salvation means in the Christian context.
Yeah.
It's not just a one-time event or a set of rules to follow.
It's about a transformed life.
Right, right.
Lived in relationship with God and with others.
Wow.
Welcome back. We're in the final stretch of our deep dive into salvation and Christianity, and I'm realizing just how much ground we've covered.
Yeah, it's quite a lot.
From God's love and grace to the role of Jesus, Holy Spirit, the idea of atonement.
And even the importance of community. It's a lot to process.
It really is. And I think what's striking is that each of these elements intertwined to create a tapestry of meaning.
Yeah.
It's not just a collection of isolated ideas, but a unified understanding of how humans can connect with the divine.
Okay, so before we wrap up,
let's
try to distill some key takeaways.
All right.
If our listener walked away remembering just a few things from all of this, what would you say are the most important?
I think first and foremost, it's that salvation in Christianity is about relationship.
Okay.
It's not about rule following or earning points.
Mm-hmm.
It's about a deep personal connection with God through Jesus Christ.
So it's less about checking boxes and more about a genuine heart connection.
Precisely.
Okay.
And that relationship is transformative.
Right.
It shapes our values, our actions, and how we see the world.
And that transformation, that process of becoming more Christ-like is a journey.
Right.
That's something that happens overnight.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's a lifelong process of growth, learning and surrendering to God's grace, even in our imperfections and failures.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you included Matthew 1.21 in your sources where it says that Jesus was given his name because he will save his people from their sins.
Right.
I've always found that verse to be incredibly powerful.
Me too. But what does it actually mean to be saved from our sins? Is it just about avoiding punishment after we die?
It's so much more than that. It's about being freed from the power that sin has over us, both now and in the future.
Right.
It's about experiencing true freedom, wholeness, and a restored relationship with God.
So salvation has both present and future implications.
Exactly.
It's about a changed life now and the promise of eternal life with God.
Exactly.
Okay.
And eternal life isn't just about quantity of years.
Right.
It's about quality of relationship, about experiencing the fullness of God's love and presence both now and forever.
Wow, that's a beautiful way to think about it.
Yeah.
We've covered a lot of ground, but I feel like there's always more to explore, more questions to ask.
Absolutely.
For example, what about those who haven't heard about Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
Or the different interpretations of salvation within Christianity itself?
You're right. There's always more to discover.
Yeah.
And that's part of what makes faith so dynamic.
Right.
It's a journey of continuous exploration and growth.
Mm-hmm.
What we've discussed today is a starting point.
Yeah.
A foundation upon which you can build your own understanding.
That's a good reminder.
Yeah.
Ultimately, faith is a personal journey shaped by our own experiences and the communities we belong to.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think that's a perfect note to end on.
Okay.
This deep dive has given us a glimpse into the vast and intricate concept of salvation in Christianity.
Right.
But the journey of understanding doesn't end here.
Well said. To our listener, we hope this deep dive has sparked your curiosity and given you a framework for further exploration.
Yes.
Remember, faith isn't static.
Right.
It's a dynamic, living thing that evolves over time.
Mm-hmm.
So keep searching, keep asking questions, and keep diving deep.